Both our first reading and the gospel today focus our attention on the question of the reality of the resurrection from the dead. In our first reading, we see seven sons of a mother who are all arrested for their faith, and they seem so willing to give up their lives. It says, "We are ready to die rather than transgress the laws of our ancestors. The King of the world will raise us up to live again forever." Each of these seven brothers says they bravely hold out their hands and says, "I got these from God. You can cut them off. I expect to receive them back again." A marvelous kind of development. This is right before the time of Jesus. And we know in our gospel today, we see some Sadducees at the time of Jesus who deny that there's a resurrection. So there's this debate going on. We see what a difference it makes, though, when people believe in the resurrection, the great courage that the Maccabees have. Of course, we know that it ultimately is designed to give us courage, too, that this life is not all there is. That causes us to live this life with great zeal, knowing that our future destiny depends upon how we live this life. It also causes us to not despair about the things of this life because they don't go on forever. This whole month of November, the church really gives us to focus our attention on the life of the world to come, especially as we pray for our loved ones who have died. This past week, we had beautiful celebrations of All Saints Day and then All Souls Day. Especially, we had a beautiful Mass for All Souls here on Wednesday. The church reminds us that for those of us that die in God's friendship, but not quite perfect and ready to enter heaven, there is this final state of purification we call purgatory, in which every last little bit of selfishness, anything that could keep us from being truly ready to be face to face with God, is purged away. In that, the church reminds us of the great truth that the thing that is most dangerous, most likely to keep us from seeing God, is our own selfishness. To become too attached to ourselves and the things of this world, that we put a barrier between us and God. Selfishness is the great danger of this world. I think that's why we're so impressed when we see heroes that are willing to give up their lives, to forfeit earthly comfort, to sacrifice greatly for the sake of others. We see this, of course, in mothers and fathers and their families who each sacrifice greatly for their kids. But this week, as we come on this Friday to the celebration of the secular holiday, anyway, of Veterans Day, I'd like today to focus a little bit on those heroes. Our veterans, our men and women who serve in our armed forces, who have served, and especially those who have given their lives in defense of our country and freedom around the world. These are heroes. And I think they inspire us so much because in a world that is so sick with selfishness, so bent on me, 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 and what I can get, we see our brothers and sisters, just like you and me, are willing to say, "I'll sign up. I'm going to go fight." They're willing to leave their families behind on deployment and suffer being separated for long times, to risk their lives in terrible places and climates far from home. All this because of a sense of duty and noble sacrifice for a greater good. And I dare say, especially for those who go into harm's way for our freedom, a great knowledge of the resurrection to come. Just like these Maccabees were so willing to put their physical lives on the line because they knew there was something better. Ultimately, I pray that all of our fighting men and women know that there is a great resurrection to come, even worth the sacrifice of our life for something great. Surely we should be grateful for men and women who make this sacrifice. You know, I lived in Washington, D.C. for the last 3 years, and one of my favorite places to go when I just needed to get away and keep things in perspective, to go think a little bit, was to go to Arlington National Cemetery, just across the Potomac from D.C. It's a beautiful place to be able to go there and just look on the rows and rows of tombstones and to know of the great sacrifice, the heroes that lie fallen there surrounding every side. I especially enjoy to see the Iwo Jima Marine Corps War Memorial there at the cemetery, and I look at those Marines that had just finished fighting their way up Mount Suribachi and plant that American flag on top of the mountain in victory. It takes great courage and sacrifice to have that kind of victory. And so their courage, I think, inspires all of us, as this week we also celebrate the birthday of the Marine Corps. My best friend's a retired Marine officer. So right before I was going to study canon law, I'd really been praying about what God wanted me to do, and I was thinking I would like to be a military chaplain. Unfortunately, God gave me the physical physique more of a canon lawyer than a Marine. So God called me to be a canon lawyer instead. But my friend tells me that, Father Sean, you've got the heart of a Marine. You're like a spiritual Marine. That's about the greatest compliment I could hope to get. I have a great love for our men and women in uniform. I grew up, my dad was in the Army and then worked at Fort Leavenworth, and I grew up surrounded by our soldiers, and I saw the great sacrifice that it takes to do that. You know, I just went yesterday to see the new movie by Mel Gibson, Hacksaw Ridge. It's a great movie about World War II, and a particular man, a Seventh-day Adventist, actually, that because of his faith and his commitment, much like the Maccabees, who didn't want to violate God's law, he was convinced that God did not want him to take up arms, but he so wanted to serve his country that he enlisted in the army anyway to be a medic. And this amazing act of sacrifice, he's the only non-combatant, conscientious objector ever to be awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for the day when he literally saved 75 people on his own over the course of a night. Great, great risk to himself. Great, great ability to bring hope and healing in a terrible place like war. By celebrating our veterans, we certainly don't mean to glorify war. And certainly if you see this movie, it does anything but that. But yet we know that Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Now notice that means that we all want peace. No one wants peace more than our soldiers who have been to war. They want peace more than anything. But yet notice it is peacemakers. Sometimes it is necessary that peace has to be made. When there are unjust aggressors who will not settle for peace, there have to be heroes that are willing to stand up and sacrifice for the sake of others to say, I will put my life in danger for the sake of the safety and freedom of others. These are peacemakers. Although they carry weapons and in defense of themselves and others, they have to sometimes take life. They are at the core making peace, sometimes at great personal sacrifice. So we honor that sacrifice. As I saw this movie, I think of the fact that you talk about the kind of sick selfishness of our world today. I couldn't help but think that these young boys, really, 18, 19, 20 years old in World War II, think about that, what 18-year-olds were doing at the time of World War II. A bunch of 18-year-olds went over and liberated Europe. That's an amazing thing that we rightly call the greatest generation. You think in comparison today what our 18-year-olds are doing. Sometimes just so stuck in looking at our phones and Xboxes, and where is that heroic sense of not me, but somebody else? We've become so sick and turned on ourselves, and I think for that reason our veterans are a great thing for us to focus on this week, to say, what is really important? It's not me. It can't be me. It's got to be other people. I think that's why Mel Gibson was maybe the perfect person to make this movie. If you remember, he made the beautiful movie of The Passion of the Christ, where we see Jesus just broken and beaten on Calvary and giving himself up. No greater act of love have we ever had for Jesus to lay down his life for us. The greatest act of unselfishness. Mel Gibson captures, I think, a bit of the drama of that in this movie to show how terrible and bloody and terribly offensive war is. And yet how noble and beautiful is unselfish sacrifice for the sake of others. I think we need very much to recover that today. And so I give thanks, especially for all of our men and women, especially the many young men and women who continue to fight and defend our country. This weekend also marks the time when the church has the annual collection for the Archdiocese of the Military Services. You might not realize this, but there is an archdiocese. It doesn't have territory like our archdiocese. The territory is the whole world. Wherever men and women in the armed forces are stationed, the Archdiocese of the Military Services provides priests, chaplains, and spiritual care for our men and women stationed abroad and here. The collection helps fund the chaplain corps. I got to know while I was in Washington, Archbishop Broglio, the Archbishop of the Military Services, and the Chief of Chaplains, who is a Catholic priest from Boston. And they tell me that we could use today at least 250, maybe 300 more priests immediately to serve our men and women in uniform. We are that depleted in our chaplain corps. So we've got to pray, not just for vocation to the priesthood, but priests who are more physically adept at it than me, to respond to be military chaplains. I'm very grateful to priests from our own archdiocese right now who serve the archdiocese, the military services as chaplains, and many of our priests who are veterans. You might remember Father Brian Klingley, who was the priest at Garnett in Greeley. Right before he left, he's now active duty Air Force, stationed over in Germany. We've also got Father Peter Jaramillo, one of our Augustinians in Kansas City, Kansas, who is the Army Reserve chaplain, I think the head one for the state of Kansas. We've also got many priests who have been chaplains, Father Jim Ludwikowski. I think of people who have served actively, my good friend Father Anthony Willett, Jim Lavoyevich, Father Mike Kohler. So many of our priests, it's not surprising that people who would be called to say, I want to follow to give my life in service of my country, might also then hear a call from God to give their life in service as a priest. I think there's a similar heart to be a hero, to be a warrior, as it were, in both those. So we certainly pray in thanksgiving for all the priests of our archdiocese that are veterans and serve today as chaplains, but we need so many more of them, and the collection for the Archdiocese, the military services, goes to help that endeavor. As we come to this Veterans Day, then, we don't glorify war or fighting, but we do look at the nobleness of sacrifice, to see those tombstones in Arlington Cemetery, to see the victories that so many unselfish people have had over the years. And we know that in the United States, we are the only country I can think of in the history of the world that has always fought its wars to free someone else. We have never fought a war to expand our territory. We go over to Europe, we liberate Europe at incredible cost, and we leave and we come back home to our country, having accomplished what we wanted to do. And we do that over and over. We go and we fight and we give our lives to protect others, to be peacemakers. I pray that that kind of heroic sacrifice, that ultimate belief in the resurrection, might focus our attention then during this month of November to be thankful, to give great thanks to God that we are here today and we have our freedom because other people that went before us, the generation and the generation before that, sacrificed their lives so that we could be free. That should inspire us to a great act of thanksgiving. But I pray that even deeper than that, it would inspire us a great desire for heaven, a great detachment from the things of this world. If they can go and leave everything behind for some greater good, then perhaps the greatest thing we could have right now that we need to pray for is a motivation that pushes us beyond ourselves and the selfishness of this world that no political candidates can fix, that nothing from the political system will give us the answer. Only the courage in the heart of someone who is willing to be a hero. To be a hero, we need people that are willing to say, I believe in the resurrection. I believe in heaven so much, and I believe that everything else is so much rubbish compared to it. I will give my life for the glory of heaven. However God calls you to do that, whether it's just living heroically in your family, to give your life in service to God and the church, to perhaps fight in our armed forces, whatever it is that God calls you to do, I pray that you might have that great desire to be unselfish, the great desire to be a hero.